I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Ruth Westheimer is known by millions as sex therapist Dr. Ruth on the radio, television, and as the author of dozens of books, including Dr. Ruth's Encyclopedia of Sex, Sex for Dummies, and The Art of Arousal. Just over a year ago, Mark St. Germain's play Becoming Dr. Ruth opened off-Broadway. New Jewish Theater's production of Becoming Dr. Ruth opens December the 4th. Susie Wall stars in this one-woman show. Jerry McAdams directs, and they both join us now. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Susie, I know you, so would it be all right if I started by teasing you a little bit?
You can.
Let's see. Sex therapist. What personally or professionally prepares you for this role?
Whoa, you are hitting it right on the nose.
And I'm sorry, but go ahead.
This role, she's absolutely incredible, and her responses to questions coming out of her heart, but yet being so funny. So I really think there's so much humor to the way she approaches being a sex therapist, especially when she starts to get famous and go on the air with her shows.
It's an incredible story. In all seriousness, though, Jerry, you know, casting is important in any play, obviously, but a one-woman show, and a one-woman show that deals with someone so well-known by the public, I would think that would be a pretty big challenge to cast.
It's a huge challenge. We're lucky because Susie is so gifted as an actress, I think, and as a person. I think the issue is not for it to be an impersonation. The most important thing is she's so well known that if you try to be Dr. Ruth in kind of a cartoonish sense, you'll lose the audience. This is a terrific actress who's doing a really good script, but it's theater's really about telling a story. And this is about Susie as Dr. Ruth telling a really fascinating and often pretty touching and very funny story.
Well, you say it can't be an impersonation, which I understand, but by the same token, we all know that that woman's voice and her German accent. So to a certain degree, you do have to sound like her, don't you?
Well, when I got cast way back in the spring, that's all I've been doing is listening to her. She doesn't just have a German accent. She has a German, French, Israeli, and American.
Oh.
She lived in all those countries. So there's an incredible blend of all that. You know, she rolls her R's sometimes, and then she doesn't roll her R's. It has a French sound to it. And I have a fabulous dialect coach, Joanna Battles, who's been helping me.
And she had such a personality
intertwined
in that accent.
She had kind of a grovel to her voice, but I'm trying to find that wonderful high thing like Dr. Ruth, you know
right.
When she would go up high. And so, yeah, it's amazing.
Is there something you could say in that voice, a phrase or something?
This is Dr. Ruth. It is not my French, German, American accent. It is my voice. People leave the room and quickly.
You know, for those who only remember Dr. Ruth from, late night TV shows, she was really funny, but she really didn't know what she was talking about, too.
Oh, yes.
She was a doctor of education. Mm-hmm. She studied under Singer, and she really paid her dues. She worked for Planned Parenthood. She ran the people who interviewed over 2,000 people in Harlem about their history. So she paid her dues, and she taught a lot. And she always said that she learned more from her students than from her studies. And she knew, and she helped a lot of people. One of the things that's interesting is that she felt it was a calling. In the Jewish tradition, sex is not a vulgar or dirty thing. It's to be celebrated because it's part of life. And she really wanted to clean up these misconceptions about sex.
Well, I guess Dr. Ruth really started to be on the radar here. Would have been the early 80s, maybe?
Yes.
I mean, she started on television, mm-hmm. like with David Letterman, I think. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, I can't believe she said that.
I know. She talks about that. Well, I talk about that in the show. And she was on Johnny Carson, too, and then did many shows for David. And she got sometimes so outrageous, he literally walked off stage because he didn't know how to respond. And she says it was him pretending, But, he literally.
Don't you think she got away with it in a large part because she wasn't threatening?
Exactly.
I mean, she didn't have, how do I put it? She didn't really project a sexuality that would be intimidating or threatening to people. She was more like, a cute old grandmother
That's
type.
What she says. She goes, people want to talk about sex, and suddenly here was a little matronly woman who did, and I'm not threatening. And they liked my accent. They like her accent, too.
And they made her laugh.
Yeah, and she made them laugh.
Yeah.
The play is titled Becoming Dr. Ruth, so I'm assuming, does that refer to that this show sort of tells her story before she became the sex therapist. I mean, how mm-hmm. she got there. Because she has a fascinating backstory that I really didn't know anything about.
I didn't either before I started reading this play.
Actually, the majority of the play is that story. From her time in Frankfurt as a child to Switzerland as part of the Kinder Transport to Israel, where she was a fighter as well as an educator, and then to Paris and then to New York. By the time she was 28, she had been through all of that.
Let's go back to the very beginning, and you can fill in a few of the blanks for me. She was born, I think it was 1928, in Germany.
Mm-hmm. In Frankfurt.
To Jewish parents. Mm-hmm. But around the time of the war, they were separated. I think she mm-hmm. was actually sent away. But at some point, her parents were taken to a concentration camp.
Well,
she never saw them again.
Away. Her father was sent away first when she was 10. And luckily, she made the list on the Kinder transport to Switzerland and went and lived in Switzerland for a while at this horrible home for Swiss children, and she was treated like a servant. And then that the war ended, and then she went to Palestine and worked on a kibbutz, and then from there went to Jerusalem, kind of started to find her path then. And then Jerusalem led her to Paris, as Jerry said, and then America.
So when did the sex therapy part enter her life?
It
because she didn't
really,
start her career that way.
Was that really in America? She wanted to be a teacher. But in America, she decided from Planned Parenthood that she wanted to teach education. And then the teaching of it led to her thrive for learning to get her doctorate. And then that's when she met Dr. Helen Singer Kaplan. And then she decided then, after watching her for weeks behind a two-way mirror conduct sex therapy, that that's what she wanted to be. And it was really, it really relates to her past. She had so much love as a child and wanted to give back to people the love that she no longer, you know, her family that she no longer had.
Did she conduct sex therapy, say, as Masters and Johnson did? Did she actually do that?
I don't think so. I think she certainly learned from their experience, but her primary issue was education. There's a wonderful moment in the show in which she's speaking to broadcasters, and she's saying, where most people learn about sex is from their significant others. The problem is their significant others don't know anything. And so our responsibility is that broadcasters, which have such a wide range of contact, can be the significant others. And therefore, it's the responsibility of the broadcasting organizations to help educate folks in the United States and then Canada and then around the world.
The way she got started on radio, wasn't it in New York, and it was some sort of like little 15-minute show?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how did all that start? Yeah,
she went to Dr. Helen Singer Kaplan when she was studying with her and observing. She went to a letter came just and this is really what happened for her career. This letter came and requesting someone come to address the community affairs managers of all the radio stations in New York. And she was the one that said, I'll go. I don't even care if I get paid. I want to go. And after that speech she gave that Jerry was talking about is when they said, okay, we're going to put you on the air for 15 minutes.
And then 3 weeks later, she was expanded to
an hour. Yeah.
And then on Lifetime Cable Network, she did 500 shows, which is just astonishing.
TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Do you think our Puritan thoughts about talking about sex is partly what made her successful, because it was – I mean, she was really treading new ground as far as what she was saying mm-hmm. in a public forum.
Exactly. I mean, she says people need to talk about it. So
– and use the real words. And the nice thing about her is that she's never vulgar. She's never unseemly. She's straightforward. She's an educator, and therefore she talks about the facts. And she does it in a funny and charming way.
So if no one had ever seen the show before, just because it's about Dr. Ruth, you might have expectations that you're going to be, you know, shocked and maybe offended or something. But are you telling me that's not really what the play's about?
Not at all. I think it's a story about an extraordinarily driven, charming, and smart woman who overcame a lot of hurdles. She's truly a survivor, but not a survivor at the risk of her life. More a survivor to meet her own needs and her own expectations.
That's Jerry McAdams. He's directing New Jewish Theater's production of Becoming Dr. Ruth. Susie Wahl is Dr. Ruth in that production. And Susie, I was reading a press release from New Jewish Theater, mm-hmm. and it talks about how you kind of jumped at this opportunity to play Dr. Ruth. And they also say that there are many parallels mm-hmm. between your life and Dr. Ruth's, and you feel drawn to the character. So I just have to – please explain that.
It's not about, well, never mind.
Go ahead.
She says so many things, you know. The main line that she says that is just so me is, I learn from my students as they learn from me. But I worked on a kibbutz back in 1977. I'm a Gentile, but I worked on a kibbutz, and it was 7 months on a kibbutz. And the kibbutz that she talks about, I actually visited, Ramat David, that she was with. Just little things. Lots of parallels to her life. And a lot of it is just the way she feels and sees the world, you know. Oh, she doesn't get jokes, and that's me. You know, I can laugh at funny things, but I don't get the jokes, you know, and that's what she says.
My favorite one, though, is when we were talking about the show, I said, now you realize you're going to have to dance with Shirley Temple, because she does. And you know, Susie said, well, what movie? And I said, The Little Princess. And she went, it's my favorite movie. So there are connections all the way through. Yeah. Some we'll talk about.
I don't get that reference.
Well, The Little Princess was her, was
my
Susie's favorite
movie.
Favorite
as a child, and it was Dr. Ruth's.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. She loves Shirley Temple.
Well, let's focus on where does the play begin?
It begins in 1997, 2 months after her third husband, Fred, died. And the premise is that she's in her apartment and
she's thinking about moving. Mm-hmm. And then she looks at the audience and says, you're here. It's nice to have you here. And
we can talk while I pack.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Because she doesn't want to pack.
No.
And therefore she talks. And then she starts when she's 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her story from all of that terrific journey from Frankfurt to New York City. So you go through her three husbands, and you go through her experiences of learning, and you go through her problems with really getting an education. It was very difficult for her to get an education because she really wasn't educated until she got to Jerusalem, I think. Mm-hmm. And then she started to work, and then she got her doctorate of education at the New School in New York.
Are there laughs in this play before you get to her sex career, so to speak?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny show because she's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, it's from the get go. She and not only that, but people call her on her telephone, you know, telephone in her apartment, her personal assistant with stuff, and then the mover calls to help to arrange the time he needs to help her, you know, pick up all the boxes and take them to her new apartment, and then her two children call her. She had two kids, Miriam and Joel, so they call her. So she's interrupted, you know, by these phone calls. And it's just the way she deals with people, you know. She's just out there.
Can you say a little bit about the transition from her, when she becomes the Dr. Ruth that we know, though?
It's been one of the interesting challenges in creating, well, working on this performance in collaboration with Susie. It's to move her, not pretending she's 10 years old, but to tell the story with the innocence when she's 10 years old, and then moving into the knowledgeable, smart Dr. Ruth that we all know and love. And that process has been a challenge because she moves in and out of time frames. That is, the play does. She doesn't really change character. And so the challenge is to try to create that arc where you get a sense of the growth while you're being told a story, and not to be a PowerPoint presentation, because there's a lot of visuals with this show.
When she became the sex therapist, I don't remember her receiving criticism, did she?
I don't think so.
I think there was some religious organizations who object to the speaking about sex on the air, but she didn't care. It wasn't her issue. Nothing bothered her.
She's still out there. Is she still active?
I think she's 89 now. Is that what she is?
Mm-hmm.
She still has the same personal assistant. And I think she's fairly private. I'm not sure she goes on. I know she was here in St. Louis a few years ago, three or four years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At the Jewish
Book Fair.
Yeah, Book Fair.
Jerry, this is a relatively new play. It's just a couple years old, I think. What drew you to it? Why did you want to direct this?
I like working with women. I like working with talented, creative women. And I've done several one-person shows, but this was an opportunity to do one in which was a highly recognizable character. and not making it an impersonation. So I was attracted to it because it tells such a great story. I mean, theater is really about telling stories. And in my conversations with Mark St. Germain, one of the things he said is, realize that this woman at 89 has more energy than all of us put together. He said, an hour and a half, I'm worn out. Well, that's Susie too. Not an hour and a half, I'm worn out. But her energy comes through. And it's just great fun to work on.
New Jewish Theater presents Mark St. Germain's Becoming Dr. Ruth. It opens next Thursday, runs through December the 21st at the JCC Wool Studio Theater. If you'd like more information about tickets and everything else, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to that. And one final question for you, Susie. What have you grown to love about this character, about the real person, Ruth Westheimer?
I feel at this point, with a little more than a week to go, I just feel really comfortable with her. And I don't think I'm going to ever stop discovering, even when I'm, you know, every performance is going to be discovery for me, which is going to be great, mainly because I get to have that incredible relationship with the audience. So whatever happens, I ask them questions, I tell them things, you know, I tell them not to do something, you know, but who knows? So it's going to be, I'm really excited. Did I answer your question?
I think it did. And I want to note, too, that Dr. Ruth's latest book, Myths of Love, just came out this past summer.
Ooh.
So in her late 80s, she's still going strong.
Yes.
That's Susie Wall, Jerry McAdams, New Jewish Theater's Becoming Dr. Ruth opens next Thursday. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Pleasure.